Blog Talk Radio.
Something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me. When I came to,
Strange Round Secret Universe, we've got a great show tonight. I've got the great Dr. Susan Shumsky. Let's bring her on.
Hey, evening, Susan.
Hey, I'm glad you was able to join us tonight.
I'm so glad to be here.
Hey, it's great. It feels great. We're talking about very important subjects tonight, and your book just got released, and you're dealing with a subject that I think that it's very important to talk about, and that's being able to open our third eye.
Right. Right. The book is called Awaken Your Third Eye. That's right.
You know, and I think that a lot of people think that they have, a lot of people have that gift right now, Susan, and they don't even know it. They think that it's just a, their conscience talking to them or something like that, but it's really their third eye in a lot of ways. Or that second sense.
Right. It's like second sight. Yeah, right. So the third eye is more than what they may refer to as their own beliefs, their wishful thinking, their conscience, whatever they conceive that to be. There's much more to the third eye than that. The third eye is actually the eye of illumination, which is within the center of the brain and which can help us to achieve higher states of consciousness and to also be able to perceive things hidden from view through what I call subtle sensory perception or supersensory perception. The misnomer is extrasensory perception because you cannot perceive anything without the senses, either the gross senses or the subtle senses. So what the third eye is, it is the seat of the subtle senses of clairvoyance, clairaudience, and clairsentience.
Very powerful stuff right there. Very powerful. Now, how are we able to tap in to our third eye, Susan?
Well, there are many different techniques. In my book, Awaken Your Third Eye, I actually reveal many, many different techniques that people can do to help them to awaken the third eye. These include very traditional practices from India, such as specific asanas, meaning postures, also bandhas, that means muscular locks, and also mudras, that means certain gestures. And in the Taoist tradition, the microcosmic orbit is a technique that I teach in the book, as well as pranayama, which is traditional yogic breathing, and also meditation practices such as tratak. Pratika is a type of meditation where you are gazing at a candle, at yourself in a mirror, or
staring at a candle for a long period of time. Actually, there was a man that introduced me to that, and he was from India, and he was able to tell me. He said, what I'm about to teach you is somebody that could only be able to learn if they were able to go to India.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's what he was really basically talking about was a focus on something. And, you know, and he said that a candle or a piece of paper mm-hmm. writing stuff, you know, writing stuff down, things like that. But go ahead. I even want to jump.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. The Trataka meditation is gazing at various. There's various techniques that I teach in the book, Awaken Your Third Eye, for developing your clairvoyant sense through this Trataka practice. So it's done by gazing at a candle, or you could be gazing, for example, at a picture of an enlightened being, or you could gaze at the sky, at a star, at the horizon, at any object. In fact, you can develop your third eye through this type of what we call soft focus gazing. I would also recommend people to get the get a book called Magic Eye, Magic Eye books. What those are, you look at these illustrations in the books. They just look like a jumbled bunch of different shapes and different colors. But when you gaze at the pictures with soft focus, what happens is a three-dimensional figure will appear. You'll suddenly be able to see something in three dimensions. If you are able to achieve the soft focus vision that's required to be able to develop your clairvoyant sight. So the Magic Eye photos, Magic Eye books are very helpful for developing that.
Well, so you're saying basically, Susan, that if for all the people in my audience and everybody out in the world tonight, if they feel, you know, if they can see it, you know, because when I was in middle school, the 3D puzzle was very popular. And it became off the sites around 96, 97, 98, but it was really popular during that time. And it's really interesting that you said that's how people can maybe tap into their gift, noticing that they have that gift by reading the puzzles.
That's right. And also mirror gazing. You can sit in front of a mirror in a darkened room or even a completely dark room and just gaze at your forehead or the curve of your neck or some part of your head or above your head. You just gaze at that as you're looking at yourself in a mirror. And that can help you to develop your clairvoyant sight. Also, you can start to actually see the aura in the mirror. So these are different ways. And I have many, many other ways that I talk about in the book.
Yeah, it's really powerful stuff. This, you know, the way we can focus on something. Let's go back to the candle and the meditation, because a lot of people maybe try to meditate, and then, you know, yoga is really popular now, which yoga is another form of being able of a connection with not only the mind but the body too. But I wanted to just touch base on focusing on the candle.
Right. So that is done. What you do is you just place a candle at eye level, and at eye level meaning when you're sitting, you sit in a chair and you place the candle maybe about 3 feet away or something like that, and you just simply open your eyes and gaze at the flame. And now it's really important not to strain as you're doing this, though. And while you're gazing at the candle, if you feel any sense of strain or if your eyes start to water or something like that, then just close your eyes and allow your vision to be focused internally on the candle. You might be able to visualize it in your inner eye. So this can help you it helps with focus, as you mentioned. It helps with developing your focus, your concentration, but it also helps you to develop your clairvoyant sight. Clairvoyance means subtle sight, clairaudience means subtle hearing, and clairsentience means subtle feeling.
That's whenever... Yeah, you know, you've been doing so much. I wanted to just talk about you for a second because I've read all the things that you've done. You know, it's pretty amazing. Let's Let's talk about how you started out, Susan. I would like to know a little bit about that.
Great. Yeah, so I was a hippie. It was the 60s. I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was a flower child.
I followed the dead in 2004 when they done the Red the Flag tour. Now, well, that's just off the record, but I done that. Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, so
I stayed on the parking lot. I never left the parking lot, though. Never left Shakedown Street, unfortunately. Okay.
So,
go ahead.
So during the 60s, yeah, we were visiting the Avalon Ballroom, the Fillmore Auditorium. We were seeing Hendrix and Joplin and all the great, the Who and all of them. So I did all that. And I was also at Altamont with the Rolling Stones. So
you've seen all them historical.
Part of my resume, but
you've seen all them historical concerts, and you know, especially the Rosemont, because see, the Stones was really satanic, and you know, and everything that they were doing, and you know, even for their craziness, the Rosemont with the Hell's Angels and stuff like that, that really set something off. But go ahead back.
Altamont. It was called Altamont, actually. So in any case, I was there, but people don't realize that we weren't just wild, crazy kids. We were actually, those of us that were flower children, we were really, really serious about developing ourselves spiritually. We were reading the Buddhist scriptures, the Tibetan Book of the Dead. I was reading Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, Alan Watts, The Way of Zen, all the spiritual books that I could get my hands on. And I noticed that in Alan Watts' books, he said that you have to find a meditation guide. Well, in 1966, in Berkeley, California, you didn't find meditation guide in the Yellow Pages or anything.
No, of course not. You'd have to meet them on the street, right? You'd have to walk up on them. They'd have to make an impression on you somehow. And that's just talking from a street kid.
That's right. So I asked a roommate, you know, how do I find this meditation guide, quote unquote? So he said, well, have you ever tried to meditate on your own, yourself? And I said, well, I'll give it a shot. So I lay down on my bed. I had no idea what I was doing. I lay down on my bed and I sort of prayed for or asked for a meditation. I didn't even know that you're supposed to sit when you meditate. I lay on my bed and immediately I was propelled into this ecstatic state. I felt a cord or rush of energy rushing from the tips of my toes all the way to the top of my head. And I felt like I was plugged into an electric socket, but in a very ecstatic way. And I figured, well,
Susan, I hate to interrupt, but you know that feeling that you just explained? You know, in the feeling that you're mortified or embarrassed, you know how that urge goes all the way up to your body. Could you think that it was like that in a way?
No, not at all like that. It wasn't like the feeling of being of blushing or anything like that. What it was an ecstatic rush of energy that was like electricity, but a very ecstatic experience that went from the tips of my toes to the top of my head, and I felt like I was plugged into an electric socket. So I figured, I guess this is meditation. Little did I know that I had just had my first meditation experience and also my Kundalini awakening all at the same time.
Kundalini awakening? We've been talking about the Kundalini. I had somebody else on last week. We talked about the Kundalini awakening. Oh, it's just the one that's blasting, but go ahead. It's just so awesome that how it all has a connection together.
It does. They do have connections like that, yes. So it wasn't too long after that a friend brought me to the meditation center, the Transcendental Meditation Center. I ended up getting very involved with that. I went to India and studied with the guru who was Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. He was the guru of
course.
The guru of Deepak Chopra. So I was
of course. very known.
I stayed in his ashrams for 22 years, and I was on his personal staff for 7 of those years, living in Europe with him. And so that was my introduction to meditation and how I got involved with spirituality and all of that.
You had strong people. You had strong people guiding you, Susan.
I did.
That's very. That's a lot of people can't say that. You know, for me, for example, I went with my intuition about a lot of things in my life, and I started getting these weird feelings or something that's happened, or it's like that, you know, whenever you feel something that's that somebody maybe you haven't talked to in a long time or an old acquaintance, and all of a sudden their name comes in your head. And you don't think about it at the time. You just go ahead and live your life. And then you could be looking on the internet or on the looking at the newspaper, and then something could happen to that person.
Right.
Something bad.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's people very commonly have intuition experiences. For example, if you walk into a room, or into a home, or into a building, you can sense vibrations there. Let's say you walk into a bar, or a prison, or a mental institution, or a hospital. There's a certain vibration in those places, a lower vibration, and you feel a density to that vibration. And you go to another place, for example, you're in the woods in a beautiful setting, and maybe there's a pond, maybe there's a river, and that has a different vibration. It's a really peaceful experience. You go into somebody's home and you wonder, these people must have been arguing. This has such a bad vibe in this home. Or you meet somebody for the first time. You might think that person, or you might sense that that person is a very angry person or a very closed off person or a very warm, friendly, open person or an uptight kind of person. So you can sense people generally have very good clairsentient abilities already. And it's just a matter of enhancing
You know, can I make an example to you, Susan? I've used this example many times while interacting with people, especially living on the street and doing a tour thing and just doing random new stuff, you know, around the country. When you meet somebody, within that five-second rule, and then I have the five-minute rule. The five-second rule is if I want to talk to that person. Five-minute rule is I can tell within that 5 minutes if that person is a piece of shit or not, or mean them well, or mean to slit my throat in a lot of ways. I mean, could you concur on that?
I believe that you can, that anybody does have this clairsentient ability, that they can sense what a person's like very quickly. And it just shows you, it just demonstrates that we all have intuition. We all have a certain spiritual sense developed, and our third eyes are open to some degree.
You know, and it feels like a lot of times that I am connected there, but when you that outlook and you have that full spectrum about it all, you see life differently. Things ain't what it seems to be, you know. And what's really bad right now is, you know, in our government and everything like that, is if you experience these powers and then you tell people, you could be labeled as mentally ill and locked up.
I'm sorry, you said our government, and then I kind of couldn't hear what you were saying. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying that if something happened, then we would tell people about the abilities that we could have in these clairvoyances and seeing, you know, using our third eye ability and telling people about it, it could, there's probably been a lot of great people locked up over that. You know what I'm saying? We're people they label it mentally ill whenever people have natural mental abilities and we are slowed
mm-hmm.
down. They don't want us to be able to use them. It's really a sadness. It really is.
Yeah, well, actually, thank goodness, we happen to live in a country where people can be clairvoyant, can be psychics, and they are allowed to practice that. The reality is that 100 years ago, there were many places, even in this country, that it was illegal to even be a psychic. And earlier than that,
there's been people that's been burned and tortured and, you know, throughout history just because they've had that psychic ability. They've been tortured. They've been, you know, and nowadays in this culture, I think that it's labeled as mentally ill. Oh, well, if somebody hears voices, they're mentally ill.
That's right.
If somebody hears this, you know what I'm saying? But dude, that is really tuning into your natural being, of tuning into your surroundings and where you come from and who you are and everything like that. But please go ahead, Susan. I just like to rant.
Well, that's good. It's good to rant. So the thing is that you're right, and that many people who have unusual experiences, for example, kundalini experiences or clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient experiences, because they don't know what's happening, they get very fearful about those experiences. They end up going to see a psychiatrist who ends up prescribing psychotropic drugs to them, or may even end up putting them in a mental institution because they're simply having spiritual experiences. And a lot of the problems that people have, mental problems, are just simply due to their lack of understanding of their experiences. People who are labeled mentally ill are simply very sensitive people, overly sensitive people who have a certain super or subtle sensory perceptions developed, and they don't understand those experiences. They think there's something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, is they feel like they are not with the normal. But see, that's the thing, is we've been conditioned, we've been programmed, and, you know, when people speak out against it, you know, the people say, you know, Robert Morningstar, good guest of mine, is talking about, you know, we've been living in World War III since 2001, and nobody wants to seem to admit it, you know what I'm saying? But see, lately, they want, the mental issue health is, you know, especially to the conspiracy theorists, especially to, you know, but even throw that all out of mind, it's in your mind that, the ability, the thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have natural abilities and we can develop them. And it is worthwhile to develop them because there's a lot of benefits to opening your third eye. The main benefits are really to achieve higher states of consciousness, but also in a very practical way, when you have a very keen intuition, when you can communicate with divine beings within yourself, when you can have like an in-house counselor that can guide you on your path and give you wise decisions and answer your questions in the highest way, then your life will be more meaningful and you'll be able to live your true purpose and destiny and fulfill your desires and dreams because you're following your true pathway when you listen to inner guidance.
That's right.
That's a very important thing to develop.
And it's in the back of our minds. And we, you know, we are programmed to think to just crash all the goals that we think that we have or to be a failure. You know, and knowing that we can do anything in this world. And I have that mentality now that I can do anything that I ever wanted to, just because I put my efforts and my heart and everything. But you know, what breaks my heart is there's a lot of people out there that thinks they're getting right there, but they're not achieving their goals, and they just stop before they even begin. And I think it's important.
Yeah, I mean, when we buy into the beliefs of society, to the beliefs of our peers, to the beliefs of the brainwashing that we've been that we have been subject to, beliefs of our training in school, in churches, by our parents, by our by so many influences around us, if we buy into those beliefs that are not true, then that will hold us back, and we feel that we have to be quote unquote normal. We have to be like other people, that we can't better ourselves in some way. And especially in school, a lot of kids are bullied into thinking, the youth, unfortunately, they're bullied into thinking that they have to be like the other kids and they can't excel or do well because they'll be harassed. So, you know, it's just a part of the culture. We have to break out of these cultural beliefs in order to develop ourselves spiritually, because it's not really that cool to be spiritual. Although I'm hoping that with the new generation coming up, that maybe
it's cool as hell.
More cool.
I really do. I think it's always been cool as hell. But the thing about it is, Susan, is I've never, you know, I'm 30 now, and you know, I've lived about 10 lives. I can imagine I played music and done all that before I decided to do this, but it just seems that I had to be around great people that was tuned in to that spiritual realm for me to understand everything and have a full insight.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important. It even says in the ancient scriptures of India that it's really important to be around saintly people. It's important to be around people who have higher consciousness, because that'll rub off on you. And that's what I did in my life. I spent 22 years in an ashram with a great master from India. And as a result of that, it kind of, you know, rubbed off on me, some of that goodness, some of that great spiritual experience just came my way.
Just being around great people. Even the people that he was around, it does rub off on you. It makes you be able to share that gift. And I think a lot of them elements have been in a lot of your books and writings, especially in the Third Eye book, because I have it in front of me right now. It's just, I love reading it. I do.
Okay. Unfortunately, I missed some of what you said. It's a little hard to understand you, unfortunately, because of the connection, I think. But
I was just bragging about your book.
Thank you.
just saying how you have been influenced by so many people that you've seen in so much of your work, including this new book.
Right.
That's what I was saying.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
It's no problem. So, okay. What's the future hold for you, Susan? Please tell us.
Well, I'm continuing. I'm always really busy. I'm either writing the book or I'm working on various projects that I do. For example, I have these seminars that I put together. I'm a producer of seminars at sea that I do on cruise ships. I do tours to sacred destinations throughout the world. Also, always writing new books, you know, editing new books.
Always on location, always writing new stuff. Mm-hmm. Hey, you have the life. You do. You really do. You know, the thing about it is this. There's a lot of different fields today. You got the UFO field, you got the cryptozoology, you got the paranormal, you got everything. A lot of people don't understand, Susan. It all ties together.
Yes, actually, everything ties together, and it's called the New Age. But the New Age is a very, it's really based upon ancient teachings, and it's based upon ancient wisdom, and it's based upon rising of consciousness, which is what the world is undergoing at this time.
I wish I knew you was an old deadhead. I was going to play Fire on the Mountain right now. Just hey, do you know that the Dead is going to be playing their last shows? They're doing different cities and stuff like that. I think they're playing in June, and it's going to be their last one. So I want to make sure I experience that. I never got to see Jerry, and I know that you got to, and I'm probably sure that you got in it close with everybody. You know, and that's awesome.
Well, yeah, I was definitely one of those pioneers in the beginnings of the whole human potential movement, I guess you might call it. I was definitely there and experienced the whole thing. So,
I'm glad that you were able. I'm glad that you was able to write a book about being able to access our third eye. And there was people that showed me learnings that you taught us tonight, and I can only say that it's nothing but just great positive energy from you. And anything you'll ever do is successful. You know why? Because you have that ability, and that want, and that drive. And I love that about you. And I really just, and you don't think about yourself. You think about others and being able to reach out to others and tap into things into their mind that they've never experienced before. And that is just so powerful. It really is.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, and I just wish you nothing but the best. And
thank you.
We come, you know, to the end of everything, and as much as I hate goodbyes, that it's always been successful, and you can only get your higher power if you take the time to learn and
that's right.
Trust in others.
That's right. You do have to spend some time to develop these abilities. It doesn't just, you know, pop out of nowhere. You do have to put the time and the energy and effort into it. Just like anything that you learn in life, you have to spend time to do it. You have to put in the time. So I really recommend that anybody who wants to learn something about spiritual subjects, that you study, that you learn, and any technique that works for you, that you continue to do it and don't give up on it. Don't be somebody who goes from flits around from one thing to another. You should go deeply into whatever technique works for you and milk it for all it's worth. In other words, just keep doing it until you get the results. And when you have the results, continue with that and just be really serious about what you're studying and not just, okay, I'm going to go to this seminar today, that seminar tomorrow, these things where you don't really go deep into anything.
You got to have an action plan. You got to say, hey, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to achieve whenever because that's, that's my mindset. I don't know about anybody else, Susan, but, it's just like, when people are on that drive that want to, you can taste it in your mouth. It's that strong.
Right.
But
yeah,
it's being able to tap into that idea. Yeah. But it's being able to tap into it, and the people that does have them goals, I love them and I commend them for them. And the people that does have them ideas and don't know where to go with them is please take that next step.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, I think I hear Morrissey talking right now. I want you to have a great night, Susan, and thank you for joining me tonight on Strange Surrounding.
It's my pleasure, and people should go and visit my website, www.drsusan.org and www.divinetravels.com. Those are my two websites, so you should check out those.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.